Edge with Chris Graham.
Podcast, Chris Graham and Seth Meganson, and we're going to talk about the NCAA tournament bracketology. Seth's been writing, he's been reprising his column from the last couple of years. Seth has joined us the last couple of Februarys into March to give us his thoughts on the and his latest breakdowns of the NCAA tournament bracketology. So Seth, we're a few into your bracketologies for the 2020 season, and let's start with your number one seeds as of the moment here on recording this podcast on Monday, March the 2nd. And we've got, from your rendering here, Kansas, Baylor, Gonzaga, San Diego State are your one seeds. What's the fluidity of this? What from your group of two seeds? Right now you've got Maryland, Florida State, Seton Hall, Dayton. Can any of those jump up? Can any of those ones fall down between now and Selection Sunday?
Yeah, I think that pretty much the one that everybody is most likely to believe is probably in jeopardy is San Diego State. San Diego State, you know, has had a very good season, only one loss, but the schedule isn't the best. I mean, the net and the BPI numbers are pretty good, but the strength of schedule, as we know, that can always be a huge factor. I mean, teams who have had great records in the past, like only five or six losses, don't get into the tournament because their strength of schedule isn't that great. But yeah, so I think San Diego State's spot is probably the biggest that's in jeopardy. I think if they lose a game here, whether it be one of their last regular season games or in the tournament, there's a really good shot that Dayton, if they can win out, will get that one seed in the East. Baylor, however, hasn't been playing very well lately ever since the Kansas loss, so I think that's one to maybe keep an eye on, but I think that they'll probably have that pretty much wrapped up. But yeah, San Diego State's the one that I would say is the most danger of losing that, and I think Dayton and maybe Maryland are the only really two seeds who could probably take a one seed from them.
So, Dayton is impressive to me. I've seen them a couple of times, and I saw them. It was earlier in the season. They've been in A-10 play the last couple of months, but I saw them, and the loss to Kansas was impressive. One of their two losses this season, they lost in overtime in Maui to that team. And I saw them beat the heck out of a Virginia Tech team that had just beaten Michigan State in Maui. So impressed with that team. I'm looking at this and I'm noticing Seton Hall stands out to me as at least in my mind, when you look at – in a traditional year, you'd look at Seton Hall's resume and you'd say, okay, they're 21 and – let's see, were they 21 and 7? But they're on your two seed line. What is it about Seton Hall that stands out that puts them on that line?
Well, yeah, with the Big East being the way that it is this year, I think that you can, if you look at my bracketology, I kind of favor the Big East a little bit. I think that the numbers that they get and, like, the BPI and strength of schedule and everything like that from playing each other really helps them out. I will say that the twos and threes, I think, is the hardest part of this year. Like, that may be the teams right on the bubble. Like, yeah, 2-3 seeds, I spent, like, an hour trying to figure out, like, who could go where and where to place them. But yeah, I like Seton Hall a lot. Right now, they're first place in the Big East. Their net number is, I believe only Creighton has a higher number than them in the Big East, which Creighton just got blown off the court by St. John, so they had to drop. I definitely think that Seton Hall is a good team, and I think if they win the Big East, I think they should be rewarded with a 2 seed.
Why is Virginia an 8? Not just in yours, because I'm not just picking on you. Joe Lunardi has Virginia an 8. We've been hearing talk about for the last couple weeks Virginia being a bubble team. They're also 21-7. They've won 13 in the ACC. They won 9 of their last 10. They're not winning games. They're not blowing teams out, so their metrics are hurt. The metrics that account for scoring margin certainly are impacted when you win. 5 of their last 6 wins have been by 3 points or less. So maybe I'm answering the question a bit as far as how metrics would show them, would devalue their wins. But is there any factor to just the fact that they're winning games?
Well, for me, I feel like in mine that is showing. I've looked at other people's bracketologies and some still have them at 10. And I'm like, that doesn't make any sense to me, to be completely honest. Like, I can't watch that UVA team and think now that this is a 10 seed. Like, I was like, if you have them at a 9, okay, I can see that. But honestly, the reason why they're still as low as they are It's just because it seems like no matter what they do, the BPI numbers and the net numbers just don't improve that much. I thought after they beat Duke that they would jump up, but they didn't. Like they, I think since they were 4-4 in the ACC and lost NC State, I actually think that they've went down like one or two spots, like in either the net or the BPI. I'm like, that just doesn't make sense to me. But I think that's why a lot of people have them, you know, at a 9 or 10. I don't think anybody thinks they're a bubble team anymore. Like, unless there's just an epic collapse in these last couple games, Virginia's getting into the tournament. But, yeah, I think that the net PI number is just the fact that they just don't seem to move and don't want to improve for them is what's keeping them down as a lower seed. However, when I did make this bracketology, like, looking at it, I was like, you know, that's actually a pretty favorable spot for Virginia, being the 8 in the East, getting St. Mary's in the first round, and then getting San Diego State, who's easily the weakest of the one seeds, but it's still a one seed nonetheless. But still, I felt like that was actually a pretty favorable draw for Virginia. The only down to it would be that they have to travel all the way out to Sacramento to play two teams from California on the first weekend. But yeah, I would definitely say that BPI and net is what's keeping them down.
Yeah, and what's fascinating there to me is well, a lot of things, but record against quadrant 1-4-3. I'll compare. I know that the tournament selection committee tells you they don't look at profiles side by side, but Virginia's 4-3 against quadrant 1. Duke's 4-4. Virginia is 7-3 against quadrant 2. Duke is 6-1. So they're Duke is 10-5 against 1-2. Virginia is 11-5 against 1-2. Duke is a 2-1. I mean, you have them as an 8, like you said. That's actually on the high end of where people have them at. But Duke, with 6 losses overall, 5 in the ACC, their other loss being to Stephen F. Austin, who's got a 25-3 record, but wouldn't be an at-large team if they didn't win their conference tournament. And they're a 2, and Virginia is an 8 or a 9 or a 10. To me, I don't know. The whole system's off. And I'm using Virginia as an example to say that net seems like it's off this year. The Ken Pom seems like it's off this year. It won't surprise me if we don't hear or learn next year that quietly some tweaking was done to adjust for this, because, man, I mean, it just seems like a Virginia team that has one bad loss, if you want to call it a bad loss, the 29-point loss to a Purdue team that with a 500 record is probably an NCAA tournament team because of the metrics right now. But other than that, you lost by 11 to a South Carolina team that's a bubble team. I guess the Boston College loss up there from a metric standpoint, they're a 100-plus net team. But, you know, outside of that, I mean, what have they done wrong? Whereas, you know, Kentucky's lost to an Evansville team that's 0-18 in their conference. Duke lost at home to a Stephen F. Austin team that's not an at-large team if they don't win their conference. All these Big Ten teams that play each other, all they're doing is playing each other at this stage, you know? So, it's going to be something that we'll learn about, I think, next year, is that Ken Pom and whoever's behind the net, they're going to be doing some tweaking to all this stuff when it comes time to look at this in the summertime.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree with that. And I'm glad you brought up Duke. I was going to say, I have Duke currently as a 3, but honestly, I almost put him in a 4.
Yeah,
and I kind of agree with that, where I'm like, you know, like, if Selection Sunday started today and they came out as a 4 seed, I'm sure a lot of people would lose their minds. And I sit there and go, you know, I can't, when you look at the numbers, they kind of are lucky to be a 3. Like, I feel like 3 is a good spot to have them at, but I'm also like, they could easily be a 4 seed.
Florida State, let's say in the ACC, Florida State right now you have as a 2. And I look at them and say, okay, they got an important game this week. Important not as much for them as it is for Notre Dame, at Notre Dame. Notre Dame team that has a very limited shot, a very small window, if it's an even cracked open at all, chance to get in the NCAA tournament as an at-large. But obviously they're going to need to win that game to keep whatever sliver alive. In a situation where I don't think Florida State's ever won at Notre Dame in men's basketball. So that's a part of that too. Say they win that game, they win out the regular season, and win the ACC tournament. Now I'm giving you like a rosy scenario there, but if they do that, if they finish on a 5-game winning streak after losing at Clemson this past Saturday, is there a scenario there where there could be a 1 seed in Florida State's future if that were all to happen?
I would think for that to happen, a lot would have to happen. Now, again, I surprise myself when things happen, and then I'm like, oh, I don't know how this is going to work, and then I look at everything, I'm like, oh, wow, okay, so maybe they do have a shot at it. But obviously, we talked about San Diego State probably being the most vulnerable, losing a spot as a one seed. So I think they would obviously have to lose. And then I think Dayton couldn't win their conference tournament. I think that would probably those scenarios, and then probably Maryland having to lose as well, like just anywhere, probably losing again, would probably be what puts Florida State at the one line, and Florida State would obviously have to win out. So I think it's probably pushing it, the thing that they get the one seed. I would say maybe like a 1% chance, but I say that, like I said, and then if it happens, watch, I'll end up having one the one line. But no, yeah, I think that would be a very, very hard task for them to get that, because so many things would have to happen. They'd have to win out. But I do like that basketball team. I think I've liked Florida State all year, everything I've seen of them. I was worried that their loss to Clemson actually might have dropped them, but with how crazy of a weekend that we had in college basketball, where a lot of the top seeds lost, Florida State stayed on the two line. So yeah, I guess I wouldn't say it's impossible, but I'd say it's highly unlikely that Florida State could probably play their way into the one line.
Yeah, I would agree with that, even with all that rosy scenario happening. And I don't know that I see that happen. The ACC tournament's going to be wide open, so anything can happen there, certainly. You know, Louisville is an interesting case, staying in the ACC. You've got them as a four, which I think is fair when I look at their resume. Because I've been looking at the ACC resumes, but I've been starting at Virginia and going to the NC States and then the teams that are on the wrong side of the bubble. I've not been looking at the three that we've assumed for a long time are the definitely in teams. But Louisville's kind of limping right now. They're 7-3 in their last 10. That's not bad, but you know, you start looking at the internals here. I'm looking at a 4-5 record against Quadrant 1, 6-1 Quadrant 2. That's 10-6. Virginia's 11-5 against that group. So, you know, so all of a sudden, I would have said a couple weeks ago, Seth, that Louisville might be competing for a 1. I think it's pretty fair you've got them at 4. Give me your reasoning as to the 4 line for them right now.
Yeah, I think the troubles that they're facing right now, I think that when I first did, you could correct me if I'm wrong, we can go back and look at it, but I think the first bracketology I did, I had Louisville on the two line, or at least at some point I had Louisville on the two line. And yeah, it's just the recent troubles. I mean, we say troubles, and then we said 7-3 in the last 10, but still, it's key games that they're losing. They're not getting like the big, it doesn't seem like they don't have any marquee wins. Like they had a chance against Florida State, and were winning most of that game, and then like the last like 13 minutes of that game, they just let Florida State take over. And so that was a big missed opportunity. And yeah, like you were talking about the ACC's numbers, like across the board, the ACC's numbers aren't as great as what they have been in past years. So, I mean, you got to win your big games, I think, this year to like be a very top like 2 or 3 seed. And I flirted with putting Louisville on the 3 line, but at the moment, I think that edge them out by Kentucky just because Kentucky beat them head to head. But yeah, so I think right now it's just been like the somewhat struggles that Louisville have had. But I mean, Louisville's got a big week in front of them. They could totally turn that around. I was going to say, I think that they, going into the ACC tournament, are playing for like a 3, maybe if they could win it, maybe pulling off a 2 seed. But right now, I think a 4 is pretty accurate.
So NC State, now we're going to look at the true bubble team probably of this conference right now. One team that's a bubble team and could be the 5th entrant. You have them in your first 4 right now. And looking at their internals, a net of 55. The non-conference schedule is 93. That's actually, for the ACC this year, not bad. 9-8 record against Quadrant 1, Quadrant 2, 4-4 against 1, 5-4 against 2. They have a win over Duke. They got to play Duke tonight. So as we're recording this, we're talking at 5:20 p.m. That tips in about an hour and a half. So for those listening after, you know, later tonight or on Tuesday, you'll know the result of this already. But how important is that Duke game tonight? And is it important enough that if they lose it, they fall out of that first 4?
I would say that NC State, Stanford, and Rhode Island are 3 teams that I have in my the last 4 in. I definitely think that their bubbles are extremely fragile. A win over Duke today would obviously be huge. I don't know if it would like solidify them into the tournament for good, but it definitely would be huge. It probably would put them in like without having to do a play-in game. But if they lose, I would probably say that it's so close that they probably would drop out. And I know some people would say, well, there's no shame to losing to Duke in Duke. But still, it's just how razor thin the bubble is this year. I mean, teams like Stanford, Rhode Island, Richmond, Utah State, Mississippi State, all of them, it's just, it's so unbelievably close. NC State needs the win, so they definitely, going into Cameron, pulling out the victory, I think that that would put them probably into the field, but it wouldn't make them safe. They still have a couple more games where I feel like they're going to have to show something. But yeah, I would say that right now they're in, but it's very razor thin between them and teams that are on the outside of the net.
Yeah, I look at State in a very similar way. I'm just looking at the ACC when I do my analyses, but pretty close to what you're saying there. I don't know that Duke is a disqualifier, but they've got to win the Wake game. And if they don't win the Duke game, they're going to be playing obviously on Wednesday next week in Greensboro. They've got to win Wednesday, and they might have to win Thursday. If they need three more wins, in my mind, whatever combination those three wins come in. And I'm not even sure if they get three more wins. I'm still not sweating bullets on Selection Sunday if I'm NC State. So that's going to be the task for the pack as far as that goes. Looking at some so getting out of the ACC, I wanted to look at a couple of just Virginia schools that could be in the mix. In fact, one that you have right now on the outs, Richmond has put together a nice resume. But right now you have them out. Let's see, they're 22-7. Their net is a 47, 7-3 in their last 10. You kind of see the weakness when you start looking at their quadrant records, 3-4 against one, which is fine. 1-2 against two, though. So only 10 games total against quadrants 1-2, a 4-6 record. Give me your thoughts on Richmond and what they have to do to, you know, get back on the right side of things.
Yeah, so Richmond and Rhode Island, both of them are Atlantic 10 schools, and I was kind of back and forth on both of them. And I know if people are listening to this podcast who follow Richmond closely, they'll probably point out that Richmond has a higher net than Rhode Island. They're higher in like almost every statistical category than Rhode Island, and also beat Rhode Island head-to-head. So you're probably like, how can you not have Richmond ahead of Rhode Island? And it comes back to what I was talking about earlier, strength of schedule. Rhode Island isn't great, but Richmond is, I think, like 114th. And I think I think the committee has shown, I know it changes every year, but I feel like in the last decade plus, the committee has shown that if your strength of schedule is lower, you have to have a really, really impressive resume to get in. And I was going to say, like, there's an example, I mean, obviously people in Virginia, they know about the Virginia Tech teams under Seth Greenberg who didn't get in because of their strength of schedule. But, I mean, they're not the only ones. There was a year where St. Mary's had a really good team. They only lost, like, 5 or 6 games all year, won their conference regular season, lost in the conference championship, and then didn't get in. And I think that's what really hurts Richmond. It is back and forth. It is super close with those two. But right now, I just lean Rhode Island because I think that's what the committee would do. If it was up to me, I would actually put Richmond in, but I'm trying to guess what the committee is going to do. So I went with Rhode Island. But no, Richmond is definitely right on the cusp. I'm going to say the one good thing about them, though, is they have an easier schedule here in the last week than Rhode Island does, which actually might be a bad thing because Rhode Island has Dayton at home. So now Rhode Island has a chance to really solidify themselves getting into the field if they can beat Dayton. So Richmond's going to have a very interesting week, not just from their standpoint, but they're going to have a key eye on Rhode Island as well, I think, because they're going to think that if they can distance themselves as much as they can from them in the A-10, that will probably be better for them come 2 weeks when Selection Sunday rolls around.
One other school I'll throw out at you. I have a feeling I know what your thoughts will be here. They might be similar to mine. You've got Liberty actually as a 12 seed in your bracket, which I think is fair because they're 25-4. They have they're not even a mid-major in the Atlantic Sun. That's a small conference. They've got a good profile for a team from that conference. But the question I'm going to ask, and I know you can sense me, I'm teeing it up here already. If they lose their conference tournament, any chance they get an at-large bid?
No. I do not think so. Again, strength of schedule. Their strength of schedule is terrible. It's pretty bad. I think they lose that, they're not getting in. They have to win the conference. There's only a few mid-major teams this year. In fact, it's two that I think have a chance of getting in. They don't win their conference tournament, and that's that would be Northern Iowa, and I'm blanking on the other one. Northern Iowa and East Tennessee. That's it. Those are the two that I think probably still have a chance, but I still would bet on those if they lost. But yeah, I definitely with Liberty, I don't think that they can afford a loss in their tournament. I mean, I know it's only four losses, and they're a very quality team. I really think that, you know, if they got in somehow, some miraculous way they got put into the tournament, I'd be like, you need to watch out for them. They're good. They can beat anybody. They showed that last year, that they can play with just about anybody. But yeah, they need to win their conference tournament. I mean, I hope they win their conference tournament. I always root for the Virginia teams to get to the NCAA tournament. But yeah, I was going to say, they can't afford any losses. And I'm not exactly sure if they're going to be a 12 or a 13. I think that they're one of those teams that could be interchangeable on one of those lines. But still, if they're a 12 or 13, if they make the NCAA tournament, I believe they'll probably have themselves in a favorable matchup against somebody who probably would want to avoid them.
Nobody wants to play Liberty, just like nobody wants to play Virginia in a tournament, because they play the pack line. Richie McKay, he plays the pack line. They play they play the second slowest pace in all of college basketball to Virginia's pace, and it's very close. No, you don't want to play them. Yeah, their record in quadrant one and quadrant two combined is 1-1. I've got Northern Iowa's profile up here. They're 5-3, and East Tennessee State's 3-3. So they've played better schedules. So yeah, Liberty's got to win out. But you don't want to be. Go ahead. Let's just throw it out there now. If they're a 12 seed, that's your 12-5 upset right there. I don't care who they're playing. That's your 12-5 upset. When can we expect your next update? Later this week?
Yeah. So I usually try to post them after the weekday games and after the weekend. So maybe Thursday night, Friday morning should be the next one. Yeah.
So we'll look for that on Augusta Free Press probably Friday during the day, and then we'll get back with you on the phone, and we'll break it down again as we head into the final weekend of the regular season for the Power Fives, and then also start a conference play for a lot of the mid-majors. So thanks for your help, Seth, and we'll get you back on here pretty soon.
All right. Thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me.
All right.